Oh, gratefully sing his wonderful love. I should in defender the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
Today, as we mentioned earlier, we've got a real special treat. You don't have to listen to me. And next week we will pick back up our Love Like That series. And so we're excited about that. But today we're especially excited to be able to hear from Josiah Buehler, our candidate for family pastor. And so I would just like to invite you up, Josiah, and to go ahead and come up and bring the word to us.
Thank you, Dave, for having me. Is it on? Okay, there we go. I'm going to open us up in some prayer. Dear Lord, just thank you so much for this opportunity to be here at Salt Creek and to be able to preach and share from the Word. Just I pray that everything we learn today here, that we can imitate it in our life. And just as Pastor David was talking about, the protecting our teeth from cavities, just help us look into the Word and see how through the attributes that God gives us, that we can defend ourselves against the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we live in a culture that denies the existence of what we cannot see. Some of you are familiar with C.S. Lewis. He wrote a satire book about the operations of hell. It's called Screwtape Letters. In Screwtape Letters, Screwtape is a demon that's in charge of one of his underlings, Wormwood. And he explains kind of how, it's just kind of talking about how they get people to stay in the dark. And one of those chapters, he talks about how their current strategy is to keep them invisible, keep them hidden. It's better for them to make sure that we don't know about their existence, because then it's easy to become skeptical and materialist. The modern image of devils as comical figures, Screwtape writes, will keep them patient and skeptical, and ultimately help Wormwood corrupt them. We live, we live in a culture that's increasingly post-Christian. This graph here shows the percentage of so that's religiously non-affiliated, that's growing in our nation. You can see that it's increasing faster than any other religious group in our nation, with Oregon being the fourth highest percentage of nuns in America, according to the Pew Research Center. We're going to be looking today at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. So we'll start off with just going through 10 through 14 right now. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that when you take your stand against the devil's schemes, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the ruler, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, and then... So, a bit of background on Ephesians. In the first half of the letter, Paul explains how it's by grace that God made a way for us to have a relationship with him. Jesus came to earth as a man to die on the cross, taking up our sins and making a way that we can have our debt paid and that we don't have to suffer that. We've been given a new purpose, and we are made a new creation, called to put off our old life and take on our new. We are no longer separated from God's people, but we become part of his family. In the second half of the letter, Paul goes on to explain about how we're a big family with different roles, gifts, talents, passions, all shown through loving one another and building up the church. It's all for the purpose of bringing glory to God. But before we choose to follow Christ, like I said, we're broken. We go after earthly desires, and instead of lifting God up, we try to lift ourselves up. We're called to be transformed and to take on his attributes. My first point is, spiritual warfare is real. Spiritual warfare can come in all different forms. Like mentioned by C.S. Lewis, it can be in a way that we are not thinking about it. It's easy to dismiss it. But it can also be to the other extreme, where we think about it too much. We're not supposed to be dwelling too much on the power of the devil, even though there is influence. But for us today, it's more of a battle of the mind. Our minds and our hearts, we're so distracted. We are bored. We like things our own way. We go through our week thinking about what we need to do and forgetting about God. Looking at this passage, it calls us to be strong on his strength. It's not about our strength, but it's on his. It's not about flesh and blood, so we're not fighting against each other, but we're in conflict with the enemy. So, what we know so far, we need to be reliant on his power and not our own. What does that mean for us? So really think, what does that mean for us? First, we need to be careful not to fall into extreme worrying, like I mentioned. And it's not, I don't bring this up to frighten us, but we have hope knowing that Christ has defeated the devil. In verse 13, we see the mention of therefore. So what is it therefore? So it's talking about there is this enemy. So our enemy is identified, and what do we do now? So that's where we go into this next passage. So there's a therefore. What does it mean to stand firm? In chapters 4 and 5 of Ephesians, there's a repeated command to walk. Where Paul shifts the focus here to stand. Before, it's walking worthy of the gospel, walking in love, walking in wisdom. But here, it's an active call to stand firm. It's to stand firm in our identity that we've been given. We are still walking in the things mentioned before by Paul, but the stress, but Paul is stressing the importance of being prepared to abide when things get difficult. We'll see more of what that looks like in this passage. So Ephesians 6, 14, 17. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. Take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So, the first one we're called to take up is the belt of truth. It's the first piece of the armor. For the Romans, for the Roman armor, it was dependent on the belt. It held the sword, which ties the word of God to the truth. We're supposed to be founded on truth. When we're not founded on truth, we don't have anything. So let's try a game. Who here can say the letter M without putting their lips together? You want to give it a try? Yeah, there's some things that we can't do. So we know that to make the letter M, you need to put your lips together and make, it's more of a nasal sound. So you need to have your mouth closed in order for it to happen. When we think truth is just relative, like in our culture, we're increasingly going towards that idea. They're like, oh, you can have your own truth. Truth is relative. It doesn't matter. But it does matter. In John 14:6, we see that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It is only through him that we can come to know God. Also in John 15:26, we see that the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth. He witnesses to us about who Jesus is. So our culture wants us to be tolerant. They want us to believe there's no absolute truth. They say that everything is relative. That's what the devil wants us to believe. The lie is that we can't know truth, but we can indeed know truth. And it is by following through the word. Without truth, there is also no reason for the gospel. If nothing matters, then why are we here? So it's important that we are founded in truth. The breastplate of righteousness. The Roman soldiers were also equipped with the breastplate. This piece of armor kept the vital organs intact. And this breastplate is righteousness. We do not have a righteousness of our own. As we were singing in the songs today, great choices. It's just talking about how it's not our righteousness, but God's righteousness. Have you ever done something for your parents or a friend and someone else has taken credit for it? You could have spent your whole day cleaning the house, making a gift, and then they come home, your sibling takes credit for it, or a coworker. We're the ones taking credit for what God has done. When we say things are about us and put on our own righteousness, it's discrediting what he's done for us. We often fall into that trap. Our hearts are vulnerable because we want to lift ourselves up when we should be lifting God up. But Jesus accredited his righteousness to us. We need to remember that is not what we've done, but what he did. We need to remind ourselves of this and be humble that he deserves the credit each day. The next one, the gospel of the readiness of peace. The Roman soldiers' feet were fitted with sandals. These sandals, as seen on the slide, they have a thick sole. They're wrapped around the ankles to prevent blisters, and the spikes keep their feet firm in the ground. This gave them an advantage in the battlefield because they're not having to worry about slipping around or sliding, and they're ready for action. The gospel of peace is unlike anything in this world. In John 14, 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. May peace, my peace I give to you, not the peace that the world gives, but I give to you a different one. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Jesus has defeated death. Jesus has defeated Satan, and our strength is given by him. If we look at verse 15, it talks about how we're fitted with the readiness. So we have the gospel of peace, we have the peace, but we need to be prepared. The enemy does not want the gospel to be shared. When we have an opportunity to share the gospel with someone, our minds have a lot of conflict. We begin to make excuses for ourselves. Oh, I don't have the time. There's times when we feel, oh, they probably don't need to hear it, or oh, it might damage our relationship. But here's a story from my life. So there was a time in the fifth grade when I was living in India, I made one of my biggest regrets. I would share the gospel with my friends, but my fear and frustration got the best of me one day. Two students that used to bully me came to me, and they wanted to know where I got my peace from and my joy, and they wanted to know what it meant to be a Christian. I was wrestling with anger and pride. The enemy got the best of me. I didn't believe them, and I wanted to make sure they were serious. So I sent them off to go eat beef. Knowing the cultural context, that's a horrible thing to do. Cows are sacred in India, so so they believe sometimes it's their ancestors. So I was like, yeah, like, I think you're kidding. But then some of them came back and they said, oh, we did that, what's the next step? I don't remember what I responded after that, because I know we became friends and would talk about stuff later, but I just can't remember that. I just remember the regret I had of when someone came asking for the simple gospel, I basically turned them away. The problem is that when we think about our own righteousness and think, oh, we're all this, we got this ministry, everything's going good, we're doing good at work, we forget that our righteousness is not our own and that it's God's. Also, according to the Gospel Coalition, Out of the 65% of adults in America, only 33 are saved by faith, not by their works. So if we think about the majority of people in America that claim to be Christians, they don't believe that it's what Jesus did, but it's what they believe that they can do. So it's a very small percentage that truly believe the gospel. In other research I've done in America, there is a majority for when it comes to youth ministry and when they're asked about their faith. A lot of them can't explain what the gospel is. They know, they grow up in the church, some of them, they go their whole life, but they can't explain what it is that they believe. And this causes them to drift away later in life. The gospel is so simple. We just need to always be reminded of it. God created mankind to be in relationship with him, but we are separated with him, from him, and the punishment for our sin and disobedience is death. But God sent his son to take our place, and so that all we need to do is trust in him and his death and confess our sins, and then we'll begin the process of being transformed. Every follower of Christ needs to know this, and we need to take it on each day. The next is the shield of faith. Faith is where our confidence lies. It is putting trust in what we cannot see for ourselves and putting that in Jesus. Going back to verse 10, we see that we're supposed to have our strength in him and not ourselves. It's about content and not quality. The enemy will try and make us lose faith with doubts and despair. Mother Teresa was a missionary nun in Calcutta. She was known throughout the world and even won a Nobel Peace Prize. She lived her life by faith and shared the love of Jesus. But 4 years before she died, she warned her sisters that the devil is constantly on the prowl in order to make you feel that it's impossible that Jesus really loves you. It's really cleaving to you. This is the danger for us all. None of them could have realized that it was autobiographical. Because Mother Teresa had been, she gave her life to the calling. She felt called to the gospel and to help people. So she gave up everything she was doing, moved to India to become a nun and take care of people. But after a few years into ministry, she went to a time of silence from God. It lasted for 10 years, and at the point where she was almost at the breaking point, wondering, like, does God still care about me? She was given joy from God and reassurance. But then after that time, she had to go on in faith, because for another 40 years, she did not hear anything from God. Has there ever been a moment in your life when you feel like God isn't there for you, or you start to doubt him? We need to use the shield of faith to take time to remind us of the promises he's given us. It can be easy when we just go about our lives to forget about him, but we need to remain vigilant. Here are some of his promises. He calls us in Deuteronomy 31:6, not to be afraid because he won't forsake us. Isaiah 41:10 about do not fear, for it is his strength, and he will strengthen you. Philippians 4:19 is he will meet our needs when we need them. Proverbs 3:5-6, he will make our path straight. And a full verse for this one, John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. A soldier's faith is strongest when linked together with others. We need to encourage each other and remind each other of these things. Otherwise, we're not as strong as we are. Next, the helmet of salvation. What is the purpose of a helmet? So, it protects our heads. It's a little small, but you can see this is why we wear helmets. Like, for construction, things can fall on our head. That would probably kill the person if they're there. Their face, like protects your face when you're driving. Like even in the bottom right one is about a cop being protected from a bullet. So it's important that we wear our helmets and we know, we have assurance in a helmet when we put it on, knowing that it will protect us. Just like these people putting their trust in the helmets to save them, we have assurance in our salvation. Satan will try to put doubts in our minds, but when we put our faith in Jesus, we are assured of where we will go. We are saved by grace and not by what we've done. A helmet gives us confidence and protects our mind from the doubts. Our minds are prone to wonder, but salvation empowers us and empowers us to fight. It protects our weakness, because knowing that Jesus already won and we have victory in him. Then the sword of the Spirit. So there's another verse that supports this. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of the soul and of the spirit and of the joints of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of our heart. For us as Christians, the word of God is essential. It is how we get to know God. It is how we fight our battles. It penetrates, as we see in Hebrews, it penetrates deep into our souls. All the other parts of the armor are defensive, so it's about preparing ourselves and defending. But the sword is how we defend ourselves and attack. If you think about Jesus in the wilderness, it was scripture that he used to combat the lies of the devil. The Roman sword was deadly, but it was only as deadly as the warrior was. We need to be preparing and training ourselves in the word and being aware so that when lies come at us, we know how to cut them down. We also know that in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. We shouldn't just discard some scripture and bring others, but each part of it helps us as we grow and know him more. And my final point is the importance of prayer. We're going to read Ephesians 6:18-20. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may be bold and fearless in declaring. So we see that Paul reminds us to pray. As God's family, we need to be praying for one another. Prayer is not just a way to say that we're thinking about someone, like, hey, I'm praying for you, but we need to be more intentional about that. And it's about changing our posture into being a part of what God is doing. We are actively engaging. When we pray, we're setting up, we're setting the disciplines in us. Always remember that it is by grace that we are saved. Through all times in our life, we need to be thinking about that. We need to be aware of the opposition we face. In America, we can be comfortable and we can be dependent on ourselves, but God helps us think more about him through prayer and the word. We need to look at our life for opportunities and make new perspectives to be bold and share the gospel, and most importantly, be united as a church family. We need to stand firm in the hope that is in Jesus and his victory. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for just for giving us these tools that when there is opposition around us and then when we feel that we are hopeless or have doubts, or sometimes we don't even know what is truth, that you guide us and you put people in our lives to bring us towards you, God. My prayer here for the congregation is that you continue to remind us of your grace and the hope we have in you, that we can persevere and stand firm even in days of persecution. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.